So, slur alert. The new trailer, the first trailer for Toy Story 5 has been released. People that watched it said, oh, it looks like the tablet or iPad is the villain. Well, I went and looked up the spoilers, and that's exactly what's going on. So, Disney knows all their woke crap is killing them. They know there's a big backlash against tech and people trying to detox from it. And so overall, I guess that's a healthy thing that's happening. But I guarantee you, yes, you'll watch it. It'll still be salt with a bunch of political correctness and a bunch of garbage. So my rule is, anything Disney or anything corporate, I don't show it to my children. I watch some of it just so I can, you know, analyze it. But it's all the same thing, repeat over and over again. So more and more, they're like, well, we don't know if Barbie's conservative or liberal. Total leftist garbage. Oh, we don't know what the movie Civil War, who the Civil War is about. It's all about a race war. It's right there. So they've gotten a little more camouflaged about it, but not much. So I'm going to hold my breath. But I did like, you know, the first Toy Story or whatever. And I wish it was good, healthy stuff to show my children. The three of them are grown up and out of the house. I'm still got an 8-year-old. But just in general, she'd rather just do pottery or paint or play outside or, you know, draw pictures or whatever, or watch old movies. That's the great thing. There's such a wonderful old catalog of wholesome films. There's thousands and thousands of them. That we're living in 1950, 96, 1970, which isn't back in the past. It was the advanced future. We're going back to the future now, not to the globalist sabotage of civilization. But here's the rest of the trailer for Toy Story 5. At least they're having to pander to us at certain levels, trying to trick us back into the fold. But news for Hollywood, you're already politically done. Nobody's buying your crap.
Bonnie, there's a package for you.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the Info War. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always gonna be on the air, because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people of the Info War. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way, fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties, than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here. We haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men in tyranny need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexjonesstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight. I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours
flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air. The globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
You're tuned into the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm in studio with the one and only bubbly little fairy of doom herself, Tiffany Cianci. Honestly, I was already in a bad mood when she got here, so it's not her fault.
I'm here to cheer you up.
100%. Yeah, it's hey, we'll give it our best shot. I'm trying not to be black-pilled, but it's very hard. Let me introduce you first. Tiffany Cianci, of course, an activist raising awareness about the critical threat that private equity poses to the American society. She is raising the alarm and putting pressure on private equity firms that are covertly monopolizing entire industries by using hostile takeovers and kangaroo courts. You can follow her on X at TheVinoMom and TiffanyCianci.com. And is it the same on TikTok?
On TikTok, I'm Tiffany Cianci.
Tiffany Cianci on TikTok. Yep. Thanks so much. And yeah, you come in here and you always have you pay attention to stuff that I don't really pay attention to sometimes. So you always have new things for me to be depressed and horrified about, but it's a good thing. We want to know this stuff. And at least you deliver it in a bubbly way so we don't feel like we're being beaten over the head with absurdity.
That's because I still have hope. I still have hope and I still believe that we can do something. I just think we don't have a lot of time left to do things, but
okay,
I think it's
well,
time.
I'm willing to be convinced because I also think we're running out of time extremely rapidly. And we got a lot of stuff that I know you have a lot to say about, the 50-year mortgages.
Oh, yeah.
There's a MAHA summit today. And you're talking to me about THC. There's a lot of stuff. Where do you want to start? Should we start with MAHA?
Yeah. I mean, there's some good news with MAHA and there's a lot of bad news with MAHA. So we can kind of like balance that one, I think.
Okay. Well, let's start with MAHA because today was the official MAHA summit.
Yeah.
And I guess it is today, right? Yeah. So this is still going on. And we've got the sort of rundown here for the MAHA summit. And it's got some interesting segments. Things like making American biotechnology accelerate. Wonderful. Psychedelic medicine, that's kind of cool. Food is medicine, I like that. But then you've got reversing age and brain computer interfaces. There is a mix here. There seems like there's some good and there's some bad. Walk
I mean,
us through this.
If by mix you mean there are 10 tech bro led panels and one that actually talks about natural health, then yeah, we've got a healthy mix here.
10% of the study
is actually about what MAHA has stood for years. And the rest is about tech bros trying to capitalize on the popularity of MAHA and galvanize it to make money instead of a difference.
Okay. How did this happen?
I mean, I hate to say it, but like it sort of happened the day that MAHA got to DC. Hmm. We have people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. who, you know, I've had a great deal of esteem for his perspectives on private equity. He had me draft some of his white papers and his policy perspectives on what he would do with private equity if he were elected president. And so I've spent a lot of time with him and his work on advocating for the removal of the most dangerous pesticides from our food supply, on providing access to healthy food throughout his career, and his work on cleaning up the environment like he did in the Hudson River is it's profound,
right?
The work he's done is profound. But there's a thing about DC, which Brett Weinstein actually sent over a clip. I don't know if they were able to pull it. Brett Weinstein, who's a very, very good friend of Bobby's, just recently went on Joe Rogan. And he basically said, when good people go to DC and they try to do good things, they are very quickly corrupted and stopped. And he thinks MAHA is essentially dead on arrival. And that it just can't overcome the roadblocks being put up for it, which is just horrifying to see Brett Weinstein say something like that. But at the same time, we just watched two Maha Commission reports, which we talked about on my last visit, right? We watched the first Maha Commission report say that they had to get deadly pesticides out of our food supply. And in the second one, all mention of pesticides were removed, just like from the Maha summit today. We're no longer talking about pesticides, except that we're allocating several millions of dollars to create a new educational campaign to let all of us know how good for us they are.
Excellent.
Simultaneously, good. They're talking about giving billions of dollars to farmers, but that was also co-opted by the agrochemical lobby so that they're tying a bunch of these subsidies that our regional family farms, our regenerative farmers, our organic farmers really need that help right now, especially with the loss of like soybeans and all of that. And the agrochems came in and they were able to co-opt it and tie a bunch of those subsidies to only buying pesticides with them.
Oh my God.
So that we can't get healthy food. And then you have this Maha Commission report that, even though it removed all mention of pesticides, it does say a lot about the fact that children and childhood obesity is really only going to be overcome if we give children access to healthy food, while the USDA stripped all of the healthy food programs. That's where we chose to make real cuts. DOGE could have made real cuts and we could have enacted all of that to save money. And instead we cut all of the healthy food programs. We have some states that are trying to circumvent all of those cuts and do good things, like Michigan, California, Hawaii, West Virginia. A lot of them are giving their regional farmers direct grants to provide their organic healthy food to schools to feed real food and Boston is doing good work with this too, actually. But what we've seen is a movement that got there to clean up our food supply, to engage in real science and the scientific process, to get pesticides out of our food. And what we've come down to is everyone's going to have a wearable. We're going to keep all of the same business as usual for all the agrochemical companies. No one's going to touch pesticides. And in fact, we're going to tell everybody they're dumb for thinking we should, even though every other country on earth has banned them and they're healthier there for it. And by the way, no one pay attention to the fact that farmers have the highest lymphoma rate by like triple.
Right.
What could, you know, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, it is. And so what do you think is behind this? Because I never expected RFK Jr. to be able to fix everything because I've read his book. You know, I've said it a million times, but you read The Real Anthony Fauci and it's like it's like peeling back layers of the onion. And it's just the corruption was so deep and so baked in that it was like, okay, you need to just Gordian knot that. You need to just slice it all and start over. Obviously, he wasn't able to do that. So I've been surprised at the success that he has had. I mean, the autism stuff is pretty remarkable. Removing vaccines from the system or whatever, the routine, that's been good. I've been very happy with what RFK Jr. has been able to do. I never expected him to be a miracle worker, but it sounds like what you're saying is like some of the stuff we're not just not – we're not fighting back. We're actually progressing the other side.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's because in order for Maha to actually function, we needed all of the health agencies to buy into Maha. And what happened was I think that Trump's team very clearly saw that there was immense popularity on both sides of the aisle for the idea of making our children healthy again and making our food supply clean
again. Right. Hard to argue against that. Yeah.
How do you not want to see our children healthy? We are sicker than any nation on the planet.
Right.
Right. But it would have required us to get buy-in at the EPA and the USDA. And instead, what happened was to pacify the donor base. We got, in my opinion, probably a Susie Wiles negotiation because she was also, remember, she was a huge lobbyist and negotiated all of Pfizer's demands during COVID, right? Susie Wiles made the trade-off. We're going to give Bobby Kennedy HHS. We're going to use DOGE to plant a bunch of like darlings of CEO Accent Healthcare people all around him to roadblock him. But then what we're going to do is we're going to put in agrochemical lobbyists in charge of the EPA.
Right.
And we're going to put a bunch of lobbyist darlings for industrial food companies in charge of the USDA. And then we're going to consolidate more power, which is why our food costs are skyrocketed, right? They're talking, nobody's talking about doing anything about the monopoly that is limiting our ability to have access to clean meat in this country. And now we're going to buy it from Argentina. That's the next thing we're going to do is buy it from Argentina. But if we had put somebody that was actually Maha aligned and wanted us to have access to clean, healthy eating over at the USDA, and we had not stripped all of the programs that were actually furthering that agenda, we could be making massive differences right now. And instead we gave the people a carrot in Bobby and then cut him off at the knees with the agencies he needed to work with him.
Right.
And it's horrifying to watch. And looking at this summit schedule today, everybody on here is some kind of a private equity tech bro that saw the value in the popularity of MAHA and said, instead of fixing it, what if we could monetize it? Which is right. What every healthcare company has done. There's absolutely no benefit in curing anything when you can make subscriptions for your lifetime
right.
for treating illnesses. Why would we cure anything, right?
We call that maximizing profit.
Well, yeah. That's what we're seeing on the tech side now. We see, why was there a crypto section at the MAHA summit? Like, why is there crypto founders here? Why, like, it doesn't, what's happened is we have a bunch of people that are making a lot of money and they're looking the other way and it's working.
This is so upsetting. But, I thought I was blackpilled before.
But we have states that are working hard to change that, right? It is just happened that in California, they've set up, and I know everybody doesn't want to hear California.
Well, look, right? Hey, what one place where California does things right is they do have like health requirements that other states don't have that I agree with. Yeah. Warnings that they have that I completely
agree
with.
Getting ultra-processed foods out of their lunches for kids. That is something that we could have done at the USDA. We should have done. And so they also are seeing the benefit of MAHA, and they're going to try and galvanize it to the left again.
Right.
Because it started as a left idea until we realized we all want our kids healthy.
Right.
Right? And so they are making it where farmers can directly get food into cafeterias.
Right.
Boston is doing that too right now. Boston has moved to a place where like 65% of all of their school kitchens are now making from scratch food for their students. And
oh, wow.
A lot of it's coming from regional farmers. And by next year, they're supposed to have three central kitchens that are doing 100% scratch food, no more ultra processed prison food, which we've been buying prison food for kids for the last 20 years.
Wait, so you're telling me that there can be local farmers and ranchers who sell their food to schools who prepare it in healthy lunches for kids? This is insane.
That's happening also. It's starting to happen in Virginia.
Good.
It's starting to happen in Michigan. They're moving towards it in West Virginia. Like, but we should have done this nationally. Most people don't know that our lunches for our schools are ordered by the DOD.
Right. Yeah, I know that.
Because they're ordered by the people that handle the food for prisons.
Yeah.
That's why. And it's coming from Cisco. Well, there's been this huge trend online on TikTok, which is where I do a lot of my work, of people going and comparing food at very expensive restaurants and cheap restaurants and camping outside to see the same Cisco boxes loaded.
Yeah. Cisco, well, it's like 90% of food served, from restaurants or schools.
It's this mass produced, ultra processed, highly addictive, like garbage.
Yeah, it's like Cisco, Tyson Foods. There's like five companies that provide 99% of the food.
Well, that's where our lunches come from.
Yeah.
Right? And they're all coming through DOD, the same thing that we're feeding prisoners, we're feeding to our children. And then we have these states that are proving we can do it another way. We can go back to what we were doing before. My kid's school has a scratch kitchen, and it's my favorite thing. And it's only $3 a day. $3 a day for their lunch, which is cheaper than most public schools. And I used to make very elaborate lunches for them. And I would leave them when I leave town. I would leave stacks of lunches. They don't want them anymore. They're so happy eating healthy, good food.
Yeah.
And we have these states that have the capability to do it. But our government, they don't have to, we don't have to rely on government for everything. But if the government is ordering school lunches for our kids, then they should have to do it in a healthy way if they're going to claim the benefit of the MAHA coalition.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should have to do that. And we can do that. We can do that now. Another thing we can be doing right now, there's been a lot of talk about SNAP.
Yes.
I've taken a lot of heat online this week because I'm a fierce advocate for SNAP. Mm. I grew up extremely, extremely poor. I grew up very hungry for many years. And then I got SNAP benefits and free lunch. And I went from not being able to focus on my studies to graduating 2 years early and getting scholarships.
Right.
Because I didn't have to worry about my dinner and my lunch anymore. I had food, right? Right now in Maryland and Virginia, you can use your SNAP benefits to go shop at farm stands.
Right.
And with farms. And you can get food that is about the same price as the grocery store that is healthy and organic. We could expand that everywhere.
Yeah.
We could be tying these programs together. People are saying they don't want SNAP buying soda. For the record, as a kid, the thing I wanted most with my SNAP was either a Lunchable or a Kid Cuisine.
Right.
As an adult, I know those are very bad for me, but as a kid, it was the things that I couldn't have.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with a kid getting access to a soda. But I do have a problem with the people who have SNAP not being able to afford any of the healthy food in the stores.
Right.
Because it's more expensive than the ultra-processed food because we have made it so our farmers aren't making enough money and the intermediaries are making all the money when it comes to processing good American grown, American butchered food.
Right. And well, and I think, you know, the problem with the SNAP program is not that, you know, it's there to serve people like yourself who like are, you know, literally going hungry and are kids and, you know, need help. Like, but how do you make sure that's who it's going to? And then you've got the idea that I think Walmart makes $25 billion a year. That's basically just a transfer from taxpayers, you know,
it's worse than
wallets to Walmart directly.
So Walmart is making $25 billion a year in SNAP that they collect. They collect 26% of all SNAP that we put out into the marketplace goes back to Walmart, but they're only able to capture it because they have more than a quarter of their workforce is on SNAP that is full-time employed because they're underpaying their employees. We are subsidizing that. And we're also giving them, you know, $2.8 billion a year in tax breaks. And then they're getting $284 million a year in local subsidies. But we're also seeing that at companies like Kroger, and we're seeing it at Amazon, and we're seeing it at McDonald's, where we're subsidizing these companies to keep their employees underpaid. Right now, last year, Walmart made $19.4 billion, I think, was their record profits last year. And the year before was $15. They went up $5 billion. They went up one third in profits by hiking their prices, riding that greedflation wave.
Right.
Okay. It's not like they had to raise it that much. They didn't climb by 10%. They climbed by 34%.
Right.
While they didn't raise their staff wages at all. Had they raised every single full-time employee they have to $25 an hour, they still would have made almost $11 billion in profits.
Wow.
They would have made $11 billion.
And that's the thing. And it's like, okay, so we're it's like, is that what we want to subsidize? Do we want to subsidize a giant big box store that's, you know, impersonal and abuses its employees? We could take this same program and be funneling that same $25 billion towards small businesses, towards farmers markets. Like, that is absolutely possible.
What if, just here's a fun idea. What if we just took all of those tax breaks and tied them and started reducing their tax break by how many of their employees were relying on government subsidies?
I think that's a great idea.
Why don't we start reducing tax breaks for companies that the government and taxpayers are subsidizing?
And it's funny because this was an argument that Bernie Sanders used to make that I completely agreed with. It's like, yeah, Walmart is benefiting from the welfare programs, from SNAP and all these other things because they get to underpay their employees. And they actually instruct their employees how to sign up for benefits, knowing that they're not paying them enough.
But, you know, a lot of people don't know this either. Do you know that right now in America, there's 25,000 American military families on SNAP, active duty military families that we're not paying enough to eat?
Right.
Our military. And then we have 80,000 reservist families that are on SNAP.
Wow.
We have I like to say, like, you don't understand who all is on SNAP. We have 42, like you do, but like not everybody does. We have 42 million Americans on SNAP. Of them, 16.4 million are children, right?
Right.
We have, at any given moment, we have approximately 8 million senior citizens, 5 million of them permanently disabled. Okay. We want those people fed.
Right.
But also of them, 15.7 million of them are full-time workers.
Right.
15.7 million of the 42 million are full-time workers. More than 4 million of them have two or more jobs.
And they are still
not making enough to feed their families because we are giving subsidies to these corporations instead of the Americans.
Right.
And Americans, they deserve a chance to, you know, I can't say, nobody wants me to say raise the minimum wage. But if we just took away the incentive to strip mine the middle class, strip mine their opportunities. If we just took away the tax incentive and said, you only get your incentives if you are not being a burden on the taxpayers through the way that you are paying low wages, that would be enough.
Yeah. Well, it's like all these things are deeply intertwined, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like the wages are being driven down by the immigration, which is driving up house prices, it's just a mess. It's just all a giant mess. And with SNAP, it's like, it's another one of these programs where, just like asylum or any of these other things, it's like ostensibly it's good, but you've got to stop the fraud. You know, it's not that you just have to endure the fraud because the system is good. It's like, for the sake of the system, you can't allow these people who – and we saw videos. I mean, I didn't realize what a regular thing it was to sell your SNAP benefits, which apparently is just sort of an assumed thing. I've seen a lot of videos where it's just people sort of casually referencing, like, well, you're not going to be able to sell your SNAP, you know, benefits to get your nails done anymore. It's like, is this just something people do? So, you know, I understand why people are infuriated with the idea that, on top of the people that actually do need it, that are disabled or children or whatever, which we've got to have a way of just going, all right, this is a child, they can get SNAP. this is an adult who's never worked a day in her life. She's got to go get a job.
Active duty military family, you know,
that type of stuff. Absolutely.
Most people don't know that. So I was a military wife for years, and up until E4, if you had a child, you were automatically sent down to register for WIC because the military is not paying their employees enough for children to be born into the military and not need SNAP and WIC.
Wow.
Right. So it's easy to say there's so much fraud in SNAP. I'm going to say it's $98 billion a year, or $98 billion a year. Okay. Do you know how much we send in foreign aid to feed people in other countries every year? $98.8 billion.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, if we have $98.8 billion to send overseas, I'm trying to care about the fraud. I really am. But we have long held the belief in America that it is better for 10 guilty people to go free than one innocent man to sit on death row. Why is it that people have been so gleeful over these last 2 weeks to deny 16 million children food so that one fraudulent person doesn't eat?
Well,
those are synonymous, and it's horrifying to me the way that I've seen celebrations about the cutoff of SNAP benefits, because as a child, my kids are fine. My husband's a federal attorney. I have a good job. We're fine. Okay. But my kids eat pizza every Christmas Eve. For the record, I hate pizza. Okay. My kids, we eat pizza every Christmas Eve. Do you want to know why? Because every Christmas Eve I used to go and steal two pizzas from Smith's. Mm-hmm. The Smith's grocery store, I would steal the $2 for $3 pizza pack. And that's what we would eat on Christmas Eve. So my siblings had food.
Right.
Okay. Like, people don't understand that you could have a million people that were using it incorrectly or wrongly. And it wouldn't change that right now, every year in America, there's $284 billion in estimated fraud for overpayments to billionaires.
Right.
Through our government. Where they overbill us for parts or overbill us for service through Raytheon,
right.
or through Northrop Grumman. We're paying $284 billion a year in overpayments. And we have $98 billion a year total to feed children in America.
Right.
And I don't care.
Yeah.
Until you tell me to care about the extra money we're giving billionaires, I don't care.
Well,
I'm trying to. I just can't.
Again, yeah, I think people got pissed off at the videos of people going, you're responsible for my children. I can't work to, and it's like, why? And you know, it's not that like the $40 million, it's like, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of just our completely broken society where people that work aren't getting paid enough and people that don't work are being paid not to work. And I mean, the whole thing is screwed up. So, you know, it's not that people are like, oh, let's, you know, rob children of food. It's like, let's stop being screwed over constantly, and why do I have these TikTok videos, people with an iPhone 17 and their nails done, you know, talking about getting SNAP, and I'm working my finger to the bone and I don't get any benefits.
And why are our military members in a place where they need SNAP benefits
that's
and
ridiculous.
Benefits to feed their children?
Yeah.
They serve our country.
Right.
You know, they are the most honorable workers we have, the people that give and risk their lives, and they qualify. 10,000 right now, there's 185,000 teachers in America that qualify for SNAP.
Really?
There are more than 10,000 volunteer firefighters in America on SNAP benefits right now.
Mm.
And when you look at those statistics, I realize there's a few bad apples and those stories get amplified, but there's a few bad apples everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when we're talking about teachers' kids and the military's kids and volunteer firefighters' kids, and we're talking about 1.2 million children in kinship care and their families, which works out to roughly 5 million people, are on SNAP because they have no parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, it's hard because it's like, you know, it feels like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer diagnosis where it's like, okay, you have a sore, you should put a Band-Aid on it. But in a way, it feels like, okay, by trying to solve these problems, really what you're doing is just perpetuating the sickness itself. So it's hard to know how to deal with, because you don't want to cut those people off, but you also don't want to pay for them forever. We'll be right back, folks. Well, one more segment. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about home equity, private equity on the other side.
I'm cutting this important announcement on Veterans Day 2025, November 11th. That means you've got 48 hours to take advantage of this unprecedented sale of ultramethylene blue at thealexjonesstore.com, both the capsules and the liquid tincture. Now listen to me. You can buy one bottle of either and get another free. That's massive right now. And on top of it, every order
not just Methylene Blue, gets a free custom high-quality ball cap of your selection and choosing at thealexandstore.com. So take action. This is only for 2 days. I was about to end the Methylene Blue ad today because we have the free baseball cap. We've done that before, and it's a huge success. People love it, and that's a big freebie. But it was Veterans Day, and I thought, why am I just cutting an ad about a ball cap? Why don't we make it about health and energizing our lives? You've not just had a nice hat and spread the word and meet my mind of people. That's fun as well and very informative. So this is a true 360 win. I want to thank all of America's veterans of wars and conflicts. And I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for their support and their word of mouth in the info war, because we are all veterans of the fight against the globalist, their COVID attack, the transgenderism, the open borders, the leftist out-of-control tyrants. And we're winning major battles, but we have not won the war yet. We have turned the tide thanks to all of you. So I want to thank you on this Veterans Day for the next 48 hours for your support. And I want to ask those of you that have been on the fence and never tried Methylene Blue, what do you got to lose? You know InfoWars is doing a great job and changing the world. You know we're under globalist attack, so you're supporting the broadcast. You can't lose there, but when you get this incredible product, it will change your life. It does incredible things. It's so good for you. And the ball caps are awesome as well. So this is a first-time sale like it. Buy one, get one free Methylene Blue and a free ball cap. 48 hours until this Thursday at midnight Central Time at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, barring a miracle, just read the news. Corporate media is actually accurate about that. They got the state receiver in here. We've exhausted basically all of our fight. We never gave up. They can close us down, you know, anytime in the next month or so, but it looks like around January 1st is what the receiver from the state court is saying. But that's okay. A website, a studio. The info war belongs to all of us that have stood up and fought the globalists. We're going to continue on. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by our sponsor, Big League, that hadn't just kept InfoWars afloat. Thanks to your support, you kept us afloat through it, but has helped build the Alex Jones Network that they own. We got the backup studio. Bigger studios are being built, just as good as these, maybe even better, thanks to all your support. This is the operation you built. The InfoWar has just gotten started. It's not a website. It's not a building. It is the people who understand there's a war on for their mind, taking their country and their planet back from the transhumanist, satanic New World Order death cult. So take action now and let the tyrants and censors know you will never silence not just the people of the United States, but the people of this planet that are God-fearing and who have awoken to the tyrants and who are taking action. From the bottom of my heart on this Veterans Day, I salute all you and ask you now to count the cost and redouble your efforts in the fight by supporting the tip of the spear, the InfoWar, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tiffany Cianci is my guest at The Vino Mom on X, TiffanyCianci.com, and Tiffany Cianci on TikTok, where she does a lot of her most powerful posting, I would say. And I wanted to get you on originally, or one of the things we wanted to talk about was this 50-year mortgage suggestion. Now, this has been so unpopular, they've decided to blame it on Bill Pulte and say this was, he tricked us. He tricked us into saying this. I think it's a joke. I think Trump wanted this. It's ridiculous. I think when most people heard this, they immediately just went, no, absolutely not. This is ridiculous. This is slavery. This is a debt you'll never be able to pay off. Even a 30-year mortgage is like daunting to me and too long. Why would they suggest a 50-year mortgage?
Frankly, because I mean, it was haphazardly put out because of the election wipeout, right? Because people said that the most pressing issue was affordability. Trump promised we were going to have more affordable groceries and houses and cars and all of the things. And while they keep saying in all of their press releases, and Caroline Leavitt has done a very good job of saying, your groceries are more affordable and your gas prices are better. They're not better. They might not be accelerating at the same trajectory, but they are not better. Anyone who has to buy, I paid for eggs 2 days ago, or $7.99 for a dozen. $7.99.
And it's the same thing that Biden used to say, is they'd go, inflation is decreasing. And it's like, you mean the rate that it's growing is slowing down. Yeah, same sort of manipulation of rhetoric, yeah.
You know, when you look at this idea of a 50-year mortgage, one, it would actually drive housing prices up.
Right.
Because you would get a few more people into the marketplace. I don't even know why banks would approve it. Like, the average age of a first-time home buyer is now 41.
Right.
So what, you're going to pay till you're 91?
Well, doesn't like, mortgage mean even, like death agreement? So,
What it would literally mean is that your children never inherit your home, because if you actually look at a mortgage at like 6% on 30 year versus, let's take a $500,000 mortgage at 30 years versus 50, the principal and interest decrease between the two is only like $260 a month.
Right.
And you're paying for 20 more years. So instead of paying $600,000, $650,000, you're now paying $1.2 million for that house. And that means the banks have a lot more that they can borrow against in their portfolio of debt. So they're going to get richer and richer. The people that are processing the mortgages will make a little bit more money. More people entering without building more supply is not going to do anything beneficial. Here's a crazy idea that is very popular among 98% of the working class of America. Why don't we just get investors that are large corporations out of the housing market?
What a crazy idea.
Hear me out. We could also make it so more housing can be built by freeing up some of the zoning problems we have. And then we could fix housing.
See, I don't even want to build more. I hate building more houses. I think we have enough houses. I mean, it's so crazy to me that like, our birth rate is negative, our population is shrinking, and yet, if you go around Austin, I could point you to two dozen neighborhoods that didn't exist 5 years ago, to the extent that, like, some of the wells are running dry, some of the springs are running dry, we're building so much housing
fast. You're definitely going to put a data center there.
Well, right, the data centers, I mean, we are like, consuming natural resources at this massive rate, and yet our population is shrinking. Like, that to me is so radicalizing that it's like, what are we doing? We're just strip mining the natural beauty to build these horrible houses that don't even last 10 years to fill up with Indian people. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing here? This is not for Americans. It's not helping us, afford houses. It's ridiculous. So I get that we need to build houses, but, like, Do we really need to build this many houses?
A study just came out that showed that for the first time in American history, investor purchases of houses outpaced first-time and second-time homebuyers.
Really? Say that again.
So for the first time in American history, investor purchases of houses are now outpacing first-time buyers of homes.
Wow.
So it's not just like they were buying 20% or 40% in some major market areas. It's that they're buying more houses, period. Now, the other thing that's really disconcerting is if you look at the average age of a buyer of a home and you go back 20 years and it was like 28, and then you go 10 years forward and it was like 38, and now you look and it's like 60. The same people that got homes when you could get a home are the only ones still buying in the market.
Right.
Young people can't, and here's the real problem, because people are upset that Mamdani was elected. People are upset about what's going on in Seattle, where we have a socialist candidate running, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
Right, you have this, but Charlie Kirk said to Trump that the young people voting for you is not a sign that they support you, it's a warning bell. And them going all in for Mamdani is a warning response. They gave you a shot because they believed the left could no longer serve them. You are no longer serving them, and they now believe that no one can serve them. So they've decided capitalism can no longer serve them. These are warning bells.
Yep.
These are not endorsements. This is them reaching a point where they say, well, now you're telling us AI is going to take all our jobs. We have lived through crisis after crisis, and every single crisis has made our outlook worse. We can't afford food. We're 35 with six roommates, or we're still living with our parents. We're never going to get married. We're never going to have kids. We're never going to own a home. So at this point, we'd rather just have a break.
Yeah.
Just a break. Yes. Get me an affordable grocery store run by the government. Why not? The VA runs grocery stores. They do okay.
Right.
Like, it's not like nobody's ever done it.
Yeah, here's what you were just talking about. Same house, $500,000. If you're a 30-year mortgage at 3% interest, you're paying total interest payments of just over $250,000. If, however, it's the same house with a 7% interest rate on a 50-year mortgage, you're paying over $1 million. So you're paying over about four times as much over time.
But if you look at the 2021 left side and you just raise that to 6%, you're still only paying less than $600,000. Like you're paying right at that one, you're paying it like $550,000. So even at 6%, a 30-year mortgage is so much better for your family financially.
It's such a scam.
It's such a scam.
And you know what you're talking about is I've gone off on seems like I say do the same rant every single day, but it's so obvious. If you don't make the argument, they're going to go to the socialists who are making the argument.
Correct.
It's so simple. And the argument is not hard to make. The argument is they are systematically buying up houses to deprive you of the ability to own homes. BlackRock, Blackstone, that they're doing it on purpose. They want you to rent forever. They want you to own nothing. It's a deliberate scam that has destroyed our economy. You have to confront it and use the government to fight back against private equity, fight back against the corporations, and serve the people, and they'll vote for you. But if you just tell them, shut up, pull your bootstraps up, and you know, buy a starter car for $3,000, then they're going to go to the socialist who's going, hey, that billionaire that just told you to get stuffed, I'll take his money and give it to you. It's like, it's so obvious. Same thing with Israel. It's like, just stop serving them relentlessly and people won't vote for the anti-Israel guy. It's not that complicated.
I saw an amazing tweet the other day. I don't remember who posted it. And they said, you know, everybody's saying free market capitalism, that we're under free market capitalism. Well, if free market capitalism means that we're borrowing $8,000 cars that China could sell us right now, are we really having free market capitalism? Or are we just stifling innovation that could have actually given us affordability?
Yeah.
And that's real. Okay. Right now, I just was in South Africa last week and I went to a cell phone store.
Okay.
I was radicalized.
Really?
The cell phone stores there are so innovative. The cell phones are so innovative. It's nothing like an iPhone.
I don't even understand. What do you mean? How are they?
So an iPhone hasn't changed in 20 years, essentially, right? They've forced us into planned obsolescence so that it constantly has to be replaced because they make the updates so big that the processor can no longer handle it. And you have to get another one.
Yeah.
Right now, they just got rid of the 15 and 16, so you have to buy the 17. Uh-huh. I know, because I just had to buy one.
Yeah. That's because Apple loves the earth so much.
They love the earth so much. But I went to South Africa where they have all of these different cell phone producers from all over the world, including China. And they had a cell phone, for instance, that is the exact same size as my iPhone 17. Exactly the same size, except it pops out threefold and turns into a tablet.
Right.
And you can slide it back in. They have cameras on the back and cameras on the front. They have 200 times zoom that is perfect clarity.
Wow.
On the back and the back and the front facing cameras. And the price is less. And when I tell you, I went into this store and I was absolutely shaken when I left there. I was so upset that we are kept with this non-innovative. This was innovative 20 years ago.
Right.
And this walled garden has made it so they don't have to innovate anymore.
Right.
They just filed a patent this week. Apple just filed last week they filed a patent for their iPod case to have AirPod case to have an iPod Shuffle on it. Well, guess what? When we bought iPod Shuffles and they were $100, they came with the pods.
Right, okay? That's true,
but
yeah.
Now it's going to be $1,000, and it's what they invented 18 years ago.
It's true. It sucks.
I just want some innovation. I just want some competition, and instead we're facilitating all of these monopolists.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of the monopolies. I'm tired of a lack of innovation. I'm tired of the lack of competition, because that is why they can charge whatever they want. That is why the American people cannot afford anything. That is why we have a bunch of bureaucratic middlemen in every industry gobbling up all of the profitability that could be redirected towards small businesses and innovation. It's exhausting.
And that's the thing, is that the Republicans, it seems, are so hyper paranoid of socialism, or the idea that the government should come in. But the government is the reason these monopolies can exist. The government, you know, provides for them to exist. The deal, you know, makes trade deals that allows them to exist, and you know, stifles competition completely. Yeah, if you want to protect capitalism, you need to intervene.
Correct.
It's not actually as cognitively dissonant as you think. It makes perfect sense. If you want to, you know, have the competition that makes capitalism good, that makes it thrive, that makes it actually a positive, then the government needs to come in, break up some of the trust, break up some of the monopolies, allow for the, you know, bubbling up of smaller businesses to get a foot in the ground, ending the regulations that make starting a new business prohibitively expensive. There are things that you can do. Don't be scared of it. It's what Teddy Roosevelt did. It's as American as you can get, because you're protecting capitalism by intervening to stop the greatest excesses that happened under capitalism.
And the problem is that we are intervening in all of the wrong ways. If we're barring China from entering our economy, which they're saying is just trade savvy, right? If that $8,000 car were coming into our economy, all of the cars' prices would drop.
True.
Period. And they would innovate and we would get more affordable cars. That would happen, right? And when you look right now, those phones that I was looking at over in South Africa all come with a 3-year warranty. And they all come with a right to repair. You can repair them yourselves. They all come with a 3-year warranty and they come with a screen protection warranty too.
Wow.
No questions asked, right? Well, here that's Apple Pay and you're paying $99 for each phone plus your insurance plans every month, right? And then they're going to plan to obsolescence it out of existence. If we had competition, we would see when cell phones first came out, every company was trying to get us to come to theirs. Nokia was trying to get our purchases and Samsung was trying to get our purchases and Apple was trying to get our purchases and they were competing with one another and it was driving prices down.
They used to just like send you phones.
Yeah.
Like they used to just be like free phone. Every year you got a new free phone. Yeah.
And right now I just went to go get a phone and they're like, that's going to be $1,800. $1,800 for something that has not changed in 20 years. And they're like, but it's got 2 terabytes of storage. And I'm like, you know why? Because they keep making it so that the operating system is so big, you have to have it. Why am I paying more when the chip is just the same price it was when it was 256 megabytes? Yeah. We're paying less for the chips now and I'm paying more for the phone. Why? Because there is no competition in our marketplace and we are protecting monopolists. That's why we're seeing in healthcare, that's why we're seeing all of these middlemen gobbling up all of the money that could be passed along as savings to people that are sick. There's another trend going on TikTok right now where there's a doctor who is calling and she gets the price for an insurance payment for a service or for a cash pay. And if you're paying a cash pay payment for a full body CT scan is $700, but with insurance, it's $6,000. We have a problem.
Yep.
We have a problem.
It's just a scam.
And when we see cash plus pharmacies where they can pay, where the government is paying $10,000 for a regimen of medication through Medicaid, but when you go and do cash plus, it's $240.
Right.
We have a problem. And our government is subsidizing all the wrong things.
Yeah.
All the wrong things.
Yeah. It's so unbelievably infuriating. And I'm glad I just remembered this because you brought it up during the break and it's like, I had not heard of this. What is going on with THC?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So at the Maha Summit today, they were talking about the importance of psychedelics as medicine, right?
Yeah.
Except that last week, during our shutdown where the Republicans were saying they were not going to move an inch because they were passing a clean continuing resolution, clean funding bill. That was not going to do anything and that we would negotiate on things later. We're just trying to keep this government open. And when they got those Democrats to cross and we got our 8 signatures, they snuck in a ban on THC products nationwide. This is a $29 billion industry that has reduced alcoholism, has reduced anxiety, has reduced depression, and has reduced suicidality without the horrifying effects of being chronically addicted to substances.
Right.
And what happened was the alcohol industry advocated for removing it so that people could be alcoholics again.
So they just banned a $29 billion industry.
Well, if it passes in the House, yeah, the Senate passed it in their version. I haven't gotten to see if the bill has passed in the House yet. $29 billion and it's supposed to be gone. And this is hundreds of thousands of jobs. This is hundreds of thousands of patients that are buying products for their glaucoma that we haven't seen this huge rush of people having substance problems because of it. What we've seen is a huge reduction in alcoholism.
Right.
Huge reductions in all kinds of addictions.
Yeah.
Right. And we've seen huge advances in people that are able to self-treat for things they used to have to pay tens of thousands of dollars in medicine for. So why would we want to do this?
Right. And it was always, you know, the classic meme was always, you know, here's why they want you to think weed is illegal. And it's, you know, because it intoxicates you. And then it's like, here's the real reasons. And because it competes with the pharmaceutical industries, it competes with the manufacturing industries, with hemp and that sort of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why they don't want THC on the market. Not a lot of them have anything to do with what's good for you or your health.
Nope.
I'm in favor of exploring the possibilities of medical marijuana. I also understand that marijuana is not for everybody, and I think it's irresponsible the way people like Joe Rogan talk about it, where they're just like, it cures everything and it does nothing bad. Right. It's like, no, you should be careful with it. It's not something that everybody can enjoy responsibly, but it clearly has very powerful medicinal qualities, and they just snuck in. What else did they sneak in? What else did I miss? Because I know Texas is trying to get rid of THC, and I'm against that. It's a $1 billion industry for our state, and there's absolutely no reason why it should go away. How did they do this? It's just, this is crazy. I haven't even heard of this.
They quite literally did it in the last minute draft the Democrats agreed to. And Schumer orchestrated that whole side. So he made sure that it was all Democrats. Like, Schumer didn't vote yes, right? He didn't vote yes because he's up for re-election. He made sure that every single Democrat that crossed was not up for re-election or they were retiring so that nobody would really, like, have any pushback from their side. When you look at how this whole thing was orchestrated, I actually think the reason it reopened was because the airline lobby came in and was like, you're going to reopen right now.
Right.
But as soon as the election was over, everybody was fine with it. There was no real reason to fight. And I don't disagree with the reason that the Democrats gave for why they shut us down. If you look at what has just happened to health insurance premiums because of the way the Affordable Care Act was set up from the beginning, many, many millions of people are about to lose health insurance.
Right.
And that will ultimately fall to the American taxpayers to clean up the mess of.
Yeah.
Millions of people just saw, my friend's a teacher, and she sent me over a copy of her increase, and she's going from roughly $350 per pay period to $1,100 per pay period. She says, I'm thinking about quitting.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
If
we go down, we will qualify for better subsidies. She's going from literally like $365, I think it was, to almost $1,100 per pay period.
For her
insurance. And so that's because when the Affordable Care Act was passed, it was never about making it affordable. The only way it was affordable was if our government subsidized these billion-dollar companies. And so what's happened is we've allowed these costs to spiral, and all of these costs have gone, again, to these middleman bureaucracies, these insurance benefit managers, right? Because right now there are laws that say how much money an insurance company can make by percentage. You know, I don't remember the exact percentage. Like, I think it was 3%.
Right, and that's one of those unintended consequences thing, where ostensibly it was to cap the ability of insurance companies to make, you know, more money as the middleman, but instead it incentivized them to jack up prices as high as humanly possible.
Well, it didn't incentivize them to do it on that side. What it did was incentivize them to make a bunch of bureaucracies that led to that, right? Mm. Because it said the insurance company couldn't. But when you add on things like Optum, right, which is what crashed the entire payment system for like 3 months last year, Optum by United Healthcare, nobody said they couldn't make whatever they want.
Wow.
Nobody said that the pharmacy benefit managers couldn't make whatever they want, just the health insurers. So they opened all these other companies. They got together with a bunch of private equity firms. They did a whole bunch of really messy like math, and they've created these bureaucracies in the middle that have just been very exploitative.
Yeah.
And as a result, we're seeing huge costs. But if you're paying cash, it's going to start to look real good to pay for cash for a lot of Americans very, very quickly.
Right.
Because there's just no way to keep paying for the prices that are about to take place. And so now we saw the Democrats cross because they didn't really care about it. They cared about it for those elections, and it worked real well. This was a test for them. If they shut it down again next time with the midterm election, will it work the same way? They got that was a wipeout.
Yeah.
You know, it was very effective. And as soon as it was over, they were coming back. Was it Scott Jennings the other night that said that was going to happen? Like the night of the election, he's like, don't worry, they're going to reopen it now. They just need it tonight.
Right.
But when we're looking at what they were actually talking about, it's not without merit.
Mm.
The Republicans have been saying we were going to overturn the Affordable Care Act forever, but they didn't do anything.
Right.
So now we're in a place where, again, the American working class people are the ones that are about to suffer because of a bunch of billionaires that control our government.
Yeah.
And it's a huge problem. Trump now says, well, let's give it to the family so they can buy it. That's just going to hike up prices more. It's going to create more inflation.
Right. And it seems like private equity is the bug in the ointment in all of these. I mean, it seems like everything that you talk about always goes back to private equity. Not because it's an obsession of yours, but because that's the method by which they're extracting resources.
Well, when you look at the S&P 500, when you look at our stock market, it's been shrinking for the last 60 years.
Right.
And every time a company leaves the stock market, it's going to private equity.
Mm.
We haven't seen growth in our stock market, aside from NVIDIA, really, at all in decades.
What was the stat you just gave me about bankruptcies?
Okay, so this is really important because private equity is, not all private equity is bad. My company engages in super ethical private equity. If your mom gives you money to start a business, that is private equity.
Right.
Pirate-like private equity is a cancer on this nation and the world. Okay, it is a cancer. And when you look at private equity right now, last year, 2024, they were responsible for 65%, I think it was, of all billion-dollar bankruptcies in the United States and 53% of all major bankruptcies, even though they only represent like 5 to 8% of our industry.
5 to 8% of the industry, but over half of the bankruptcies.
More than half of the bankruptcies. And that is because they don't create anything. They extract, they right. strip mine. They tear down the American corporations, companies, ingenuity, our systems.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to look at craft stores because it's been so consolidated, right? Joann's, Michael's, they've both been taken private and brought back to IPO. But in the game of capitalism, if capitalism is allowed to work the way it will, Michael's will be the next one to go under and Hobby Lobby will win. A lot of people on the left don't like it when I say that. Okay. And I have an audience that's very evenly split, but Hobby Lobby is a privately owned company that has a very biblical premise for everything
it's
that they
God-fearing
do.
God-fearing company.
That is absolutely what they hold themselves out at. They choose not to be open on Sundays. They also don't take on debt.
Right.
So any debt they take on to open something, they pay back within 2 quarters.
Oh, wow.
They have never overextended or overexpanded.
They're awesome. Let's subsidize them.
They have been just plugging along and plugging along.
They don't even have barcodes because it's the mark of the beast. Yeah.
And they've never chased quick money.
Right.
They've never chased more shareholder value. They've chased. And so if the game of monopoly works, they will be the monopoly at the end, but they never wanted to be.
Right.
What we've seen is monopolism destroy a massive industry. Massive. Okay, crafting supports more small businesses than almost anything else in America.
Right.
Women who can't go to work but can sell stuff on Etsy at night, that's what they do.
Yeah.
People that are at home with disabled kids, they do that. And now they have nowhere to get supplies.
Right.
Right? Now they're buying them from China. Great.
Yeah,
you did awesome.
And you buy them online, and that in and of itself sort of destroys one of the draws of crafting, that you go somewhere and
yes.
you meet other people and you get advice and you
Correct.
Exchange strategies and all that sort of stuff. And Joann's, I think the first time you came on, it was right after Joann's went into bankruptcy, and every store was profitable, and yet it was in bankruptcy because of private equity.
97% of their stores were profitable.
Right.
97%. They had seen a growth of over, they had doubled their customer base in the previous 5 years, and they were bankrupt because how much debt the private equity companies had stacked on top of them to strip mine out through dividends. It's horrifying.
It's sick. It really is. It really is sick. And
we're seeing that right now. We're seeing that at Southwest.
65%.
I was the highest tier of Southwest flyer.
Right.
I loved Southwest because when I fly for work, I took the inconveniences of like their different style of things so that I could take my family on vacations every year with my points. And I got companion status so one of my kids or my husband could fly with me when I wanted to go on a trip. And then they got invaded by Elliott Management, which is an activist investment firm that is also an activist private equity firm. And they are destroying that company, right? That is happening in real time right now. We're seeing that play out for the world. We're seeing it in housing. We're seeing it in healthcare. We're watching more senior citizens' homes and more hospitals get bankrupted by private equity than any other mechanism by almost quadruple.
Wow.
Right. We're seeing senior citizens get left homeless when they bankrupt communities that they bought lifetime rentals in.
Right.
Right. We're seeing people that did everything wow. right by every American account. We are seeing, let's just take a senior citizen that did everything right in their life. Okay. They paid their taxes. They put into their pensions. They got their retirement. They worked for 50 years. They finally got to retire. They bought into a senior citizens community. They paid $300,000 to get a house they got to live in forever with support. And then a private equity firm comes in.
Oh my God.
Bankrupts them.
Look, we can go on and on. We're at the end here. Tiffany Cianci at Tiffany Cianci on X. At the Vino Mom on X, TiffanyCianci.com. Thank you so much for being here with us.
I'm cutting this critical announcement on the morning of Tuesday, November 11th, 2025, Veterans Day. You have 48 hours flash sale to get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture and get the second one free and get a free custom Patriot ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. We've never done a sale this big. It's a flash sale. I was sitting here this morning about to cut the announcement about the free ball cap to celebrate Veterans Day, not just for our military veterans, but veterans of the info war. And I thought, wait a minute, let's extend the ultramethylene blue sale, even though it's close to selling out. Don't worry, more's coming in a few weeks. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we're always going to be on the air, because the globalists are close to shutting down InfoWars, the building, and the website, but not we the people of the InfoWar. We have the Alex Jones Network that Bigley owns. They're the owner of thealexjonesstore.com, and that's why it's so critical you go there and support the broadcast and get great products at the same time. Victory is all about being aware, standing up, and taking action. And you can't take action in a better way fighting for you and your family's future and our collective liberties than supporting the operation at thealexjonesstore.com. So you have 48 hours to buy one bottle of methylene blue, get one free, and the free ball cap right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now again, ladies and gentlemen, we're winning some big battles here.
we haven't won the war, and the globalists have been salivating over getting us off the air. They are so ridiculously foolish. We're not going to miss a beat. We're going to be on all the same radio stations, all the same systems. It's going to blow up in their face, bigger than ever. The only missing equation is you continuing to spread the word when we make this move and supporting us at our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com, while getting products that enrich you and your family's lives. The only way you fail is not taking action. And don't forget what Thomas Jefferson said during the Revolutionary War. The only thing that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men do nothing. You're the good men and women. Take action now. Support the tip of the spear, thealexshowstore.com, and I salute you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you for keeping me and my crew in the fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.